All right, Sunday morning, 6:17:24. This is going to be another prophet's corner. More of a teaching, but...
That person was a prophet's corner?
Yeah. Both of them are today.
Okay.
The title is called The Counterattack. All right, I'm just going to read here because the Lord began to give me this. So it's like a word, but I've got a lot of scriptures interjected in it. All right. It is essential to learn to keep your thoughts in check. Many years ago, before I even started teaching on television, the Lord gave me, think about what you're thinking about. If you're upset, what are you thinking about? What's caused you to be upset? If you're up and you're having a good day, what are you thinking about? Rein in counterproductive thoughts. Those thoughts are like wild branches on a tree that drain the tree of its strength. I've got some rogue branches out there now, even though we pruned the trees just recently. There's some of them that's just got a branch just out here, you know, just out there. They'll suck the tree. That's like sucker roots at the base of a tree. They'll stunt the growth of the tree if you don't cut them off. All right, we're going to go to John chapter 15. All right, keep that in mind, the counterattack. Once these are all read to you, you'll understand. All right, 15 verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every tree in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So these thoughts, what the Lord was saying to me about the tree, was that these thoughts can begin to build these rogue branches, wild branches, from the tree. I mean, I can go out there and show you in the backyard. There's a couple of them that have just a branch just way out from the others, just out there kind of doing its own thing. Well, I don't want it doing its own thing. I want it back in line with the growth of the tree. Right? The thought life is like a tree. Trained branches bring forth much fruit, but rogue branches will stunt the fruit-bearing process. Rogue thoughts are like a wild branch. Okay? Romans has a lot to say about this. This is Romans chapter 11. What it's talking about is thoughts here. Why Israel couldn't receive the Messiah. All right, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Let me just put this to you. Have you ever known a person that they are so dense, you just never, ever seem to be able to penetrate? Well, you've got a case of rogue branches. You know what I'm saying? God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down their altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you, Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? But if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. But thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these branches, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Let me see how far I'm going to read. I guess I'm going to read all of it. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins according to the gospel. They are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So he's talking about, because of Israel, their rogue thoughts, they could not receive the gospel. Jesus was sent to the Jewish people. They ministered to the house of Israel. They didn't go anywhere else except in the time where Jesus went to, you know, the woman in Samaria. God sent him over there. But he said, don't go anywhere but the house of Israel. So salvation was sent to the Jewish nation. And they rejected him for the most part. They're thinking. It's kind of like the old guard, new guard. Thinking processes. How did Israel stumble? They could not receive the Messiah. They had their own thinking about it, and when it was not like they thought it was supposed to be, it kept them from being partakers of my best. Because he didn't come and overthrow the Romans. That was their plan. Just like men have their plans today, they think naturally about things. They're not thinking spiritually. All right, individual thinking can be like a wild branch, but I have given you a holy branch, and that branch is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. All right, we're going to look at a few more scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 23. Going to look at verses 6 and 7 there. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. They're going to dwell in their own land. Who is Israel? Everyone that's born again now. The scene changes. It's not just a person that says they're a Jew. It's those that are born again. All right, that accepted Jesus. There's another one. Just a minute. Did I write that down? Yes, I did. Okay, let's go to James now. We'll come back to Jeremiah in a minute. This is James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a person of faith is a person that's single-minded, not double-minded. Keep that in mind. Now, go to Isaiah chapter 55. Hope you are catching what I'm saying here. Maybe when it's over, you'll completely see the picture. This chapter right here I'm fixing to read says it perfectly. Let's start with verse 6 here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, it shall not be cut off. In other words, you're going to be fruit like a fruitful tree. Not a, right here where it says, a thistle. You know, a briar that comes up. This contrary. It's all talking about a man's thoughts. All right. Let's keep going here. Jeremiah 17. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope in the Lord is. For he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, or planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now think about that tree. Why is that tree that's planted by the water not moved? Because it's from the inside out. All that growth is going downward instead of all these rogue branches out here trying to think about how you're going to take care of yourself, fix it yourself, do it yourself. Not going to happen. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All right. Creation power for good or for evil. The Lord speaking here. When I saw the earth without form and void, my spirit thought about it, and then I spoke to it, and it became what I said. Let's go over there. Genesis 1. Let me read that again. Creation power for good or for evil. When I saw the earth without form and void, which was evil, my spirit thought about it, and then I spoke to it, and it became what I said. God spoke to the evil. And the earth was without form and void. Well, he said he created the earth, heaven and earth, so it must have been perfect, right? Good. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He's looking inside. His spirit's moving on the face of the waters, going, what are we going to speak? What are we going to say? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Isn't that why we're here? We're here to bring the darkness to light. Isn't that what the storm's about? Darkness to light. It's in the Q post. Darkness to light. All right. Here's some. Men's thoughts are like wild branches on a tree. They go rogue by taking care and speaking out of turn. Many are in this rut, and the wild branch just gets bigger and the tree weaker. The rogue branches must be pruned in your life. Those areas where you are taking care, it is counterproductive to your faith. Rein in those thoughts and meditate on what you want and not on what you do not want. Fear is Satan's tactic to get you to speak by faith to the wrong image. What he brings is false. False evidence appearing real. Most fear is not even a reality, or it's not even a reality yet. But Satan sends it hoping you will make it a reality. But if they continue to fear, it will become a reality by faith. I've made you to say this way. In other words, God said it this way. He made you to say it this way. He's made you to say what you desire. He didn't just speak it. It said his spirit was moving. It means he was brooding over it. He was thinking about it. He was pondering it before he spoke. Okay, a few Proverbs here. Proverbs 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you speak by the Spirit, you'll never have to eat your words. All right, Proverbs 21, this is 21:23, and this is a good one. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. All right, let's go over to Matthew. This is chapter 12. Starting with verse 34 there. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart there is your mind, will, and emotions. This is where you produce. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In other words, your words are just not just spoken and they don't mean anything. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's why we need to think before we speak. But it's not just speaking, it's what we're thinking. Okay, 1 Peter. Can you see how when circumstances happen, how we can go rogue real quick in our thinking and then our speaking? First Peter 5, 6 through 8, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's just waiting. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hear what it means to humble, to be humble. Depressed, humiliated in circumstances or disposition. Depress, humiliate in condition or heart. In other words, you are so distressed, you know, you got to give it to the Lord instead of spewing what you feel out of your mouth. He's saying humble your own way of actions that you would do to take care of something like the world takes care of things. And wait before me and let me give you the words to speak in this situation. All right? Here is the counterattack. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. This is nothing new to y'all. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians. It's not rocket science. It really isn't. It's really pretty simple. All right. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, when we war after the flesh, what happens? We're like that tree that's got those wild branches going here and there. We're following those wild branches and those ideas, and we're not thinking about what God has to say about it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not by reacting. That's not the way we take care of it. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we do that? Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity, reeling it in, man. No, you're not going rogue on me. I'm going to bite my tongue and I'm going to keep this in the spirit. I'm going to handle it in the spirit. I'm not going to go rogue and just start having my flesh fit. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Very simple, two scriptures that are very profound. Three, really. Casting down thoughts. All right. How do we cast down those thoughts? Refuse to go your own way and submit to God's way. Lord, I know how I used to handle these things, but I know you handle things differently. You know, when you saw the mess there in Genesis 1, you'd made the earth and it was good, and so you saw it a void and dark. So what happened? His spirit was thinking about it. He connected with the spirit, didn't he? And he spoke, and it was. You're made in his image and likeness to do the very same thing. You're made just like him to do just what he did by the Spirit, not in your flesh. I think that's what gets so many Christians, especially faith Christians, discouraged, is they just do a lot of blabbing and they never see anything happen. You got to have the Spirit behind it. You can't just do it in your flesh. Dear God, if we could, well, we do, but, you know, I'm thinking, we'd have a mess down here if that were true. If you just, whatever you spoke in your flesh, Well, we already got a mess down here. All right. Isn't it just as easy to think right things as those that things that are not? It's a discipline. It is a discipline to think the right things as opposed to the wrong things. Why does it seem to be so much easier to think of the wrong things? Because most of our life, that's the way we lived. Now we're having to change our minds for the better, right? Okay. Let's go to Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a good way to get that thinking going in the right direction. That branch straightening up and quitting going rogue out there. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. So if you're praising God, it's going to be a lot easier for you to not take care, right? But in everything, not just some things, the serious things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're operating under a different system. We're not operating under the world system. We're operating under God's system. And with him, it says to be careful for nothing. Do I have to read Matthew 6 again this morning? No, please don't read it again. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Lord, you always come through. You're so faithful. You've been faithful to me my whole life, and I know you're going to take care of this. I know you're going to fix this for me because you're a great God. What do you want? You know what I'm saying? Kid butters you up. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There you go. What makes the call? Peace. Finally, brethren, this is how you stay in peace. If you're out of peace, you're thinking about the wrong things. If to keep your peace, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, you better be thinking about what you just asked for and start thinking about the answer. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Over here, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, we learned, or the kids learned in the little book about the little engine that could or couldn't. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, or I think I can, I think I can, I think I can't. This is the counterattack. When you're being bombarded with images, thoughts you do not like or want, then you must counter it with God's word, with what God's word says about the situation. The Lord continues here. Discipline your thoughts. The devil is not more powerful than me. But people act like he's all powerful, the devil. You will know that your thinking is correct when you have peace. Peace is the umpire of your soul. It makes the call. Just like a ball game. All right. Now let's go to Ephesians 6. That's another one I read a lot, but you're going to have to hear it today. At least it's not as long. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you take it in your flesh to try to combat these entities, you're not going to win. You are not going to win. A physical being cannot beat up and stomp down a spiritual entity. You got to have spiritual weapons to do that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Here's your thinking right here. You got to have the word in your mind, in your heart. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the word and you've got your right, that you have the power of God to stand in it. That's what he's doing here in this armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, not running away, peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, this all has to do with your mental condition right here. Whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit. The armor of God, you're in the right mental condition. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right. Let's read. This is Colossians 3:15. In the Amplified, I'll read it. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Y'all need to hear it again? My thoughts. There's a quote in the movie Facing the Giants. A young man that played soccer transferred to a school that only played football. He was learning to kick a football over the goalpost. His first game, he misses the kick and is all depressed and down on himself. He tells his dad that he knew he would miss the kick before he even kicked it. His father, in his wisdom, said, "Your actions will always follow your beliefs." That's profound, isn't it? And this man's in a wheelchair. He said, I can't walk. Should I just stay home and pout about it? Your actions will always follow your beliefs. The Lord continues here. And a mental decision, it is a mental decision to remain in peace by holding your peace. That's how you lose your peace, you give it away. And the devil, what? He comes to steal the word, right? It's a mental decision to remain in peace by holding your peace, or to take Satan's bait. Fear is his bait. Once it is settled in the soul by peacemaking the call, it really does not matter what is manifesting in or on your body, etc. According to your thinking, the outward circumstances will follow your call. This is how the battle is won. When you make the call and you're in peace and you speak, it doesn't really matter what the outward circumstances looks like. It's like when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Then he just went on about his business. Next day, Peter sees it. Lord, the fig tree you cursed is dried up. Jesus talked to him about speaking to the mountain. But Jesus didn't go back and check to see if it really happened. Peter saw it, but Jesus didn't. Jesus just spoke it. When you speak to a mountain and you're doing it by faith, you really are, and the Spirit's connected with you, you don't have to go look. You know it's done. I've had that happen a few times. Not enough, but I've had it happen a few times. All right. Okay. Let me see where I stopped off here. All right, we're going to go over and look at 1 Samuel 17. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but just a few highlights about the differences of thinking in this situation. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Your beliefs will always follow. Your actions will always follow your beliefs. Yeah. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. All right, verse 1 there. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together Socho, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and your servants to Saul? Ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were just scared. Scared. All right, turn over to verse 32 now. They were scared. All right. And David said to Saul, verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against him, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." His beliefs, his actions will follow his beliefs. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." All right, 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones cut out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, it disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, 'Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field.'" Devil's got a big mouth, doesn't he? "And then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host to the Philistines to stay unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. All this assembly shall know, and the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands." The Lord takes the battle when you stand in faith. He fights the battle for you. That's what happened with David. That little old rock couldn't have took out that giant, but God's angel did. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. In other words, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Took him out. How'd he take him out? He had his mind right. He had his words right. Okay. Now I'd like to share with you something the Lord said to me yesterday. This is from Kenneth Copeland's Daily Devotion, Faith to Faith. Right here. It's a confession. And I have them here for both of y'all. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. The Word works for me. And at this moment, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I cast all my care over on Him. From this moment forward, I refuse to worry. Instead, I will pray. I will use my faith and believe. And He'll exalt me over the problem and over the devil. For I belong to Jesus and He cares for me. He quotes here Psalms 55. And I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to go there. Or you can, whatever you want to do. Psalms 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were there drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. This is what the Lord said to me yesterday, because I read this. He said, God spoke this personally to me. Now that you have cast your care, you cast the care of this on me, now I can take care of it for you. Now that I cast the care of it, now He will take care of it for me. In other words, it's like I sent Him on an errand. Okay, here. I'll give one to Danny.
Yeah.
All right, we got through early, but that's going to be it.